Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is the one, the only pro wrestling interviews. I'm Dr. John Stamey, and it's great to be here with everybody on WLSC AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, TigerRadio.com, and everywhere else in the world. It's great to be here with everyone. I would like to, of course, introduce our panel. We've got the greatest panel in the world. Actually, we have the most humorous panel in the world as we were laughing at the green room. First of all, from Indianapolis, Indiana, from the farthest most outreach of our show, Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I'm doing outstanding, the supernatural. Ecstatic to be here. And before we get too far, Velvet and family, anything we can do, let me know, brother. Just,
absolutely.
The team knows.
That's exactly right. Well, anyway, thanks. We're glad to be here. We're glad to have you here, and we're sorry for Velvet's family and their loss. And Stellar Steven, how are you doing before I start announcing some cool stuff that came on this weekend? How are you doing, Steven?
Oh, I'm doing good. Had a long day. Fun open mat. Just, John, I want to hear your updates first, if you don't mind.
Okay, first of all, this weekend I was at the Greenville, North Carolina Comic-Con at the Greenville Civic Center. It was huge. They had about 125 vendors. They had about 5,000 people. It was a lot of fun. And, of course, the first person that I had to go find was none other than Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. He was there. He was doing great, looking awesome. He has a brand new show called Sinister Cinema, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a comedy slash, oh, whatever. It's going to be a comedy slash horror show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, it's great. So that's where I was this weekend. I saw a lot of old friends there as we were preparing for the Havelock Comic-Con, which Papa Stro will be there. That is November the 19th, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, that's what I was doing, and congratulations to Papa Stro and his co-star Chuck Sloan. I told Chuck he was looking horrible because he's dressed up as a werewolf. So I said, Chuck, you're looking terrible like a werewolf. He said, good, I'm glad. So it was a lot of fun. So anyway, that's what I got going on here in the news department of Pro Wrestling Interviews. And now I'm going to zero in back to the one and only Steve Logan. What's up, Steve?
Man, there's some stuff I can't even talk about on the air. There's stuff cooking. I've already told Velvet in private, but lots going on. But one thing I can talk about is the 21st, I'll be going to Classic Pro Wrestling in Hopewell. It's an outdoor event outside of a bar. The other show was pretty fun. They had mostly local Virginia wrestlers on the show, and the bar owner was shooting off fireworks on the roof. And he was dressed up like Sting. It was so funny. And, like, he took off his Sting mask and revealed his, like, alter ego as, like, Gladiator, the chicken of the yard. I was the only one who knew who he was going by. I was like, it's Gladiator! And, it was such a, besides the heat, it was a fun event. So I'm definitely looking forward to this next one, especially with Damian Wayne, who's one of the best East Coast wrestlers, I think, for sure. Former NWA wrestler, and was actually trained by the CPW heavyweight champion, Preston Quinn. So it'd be very interesting, given their history, and see what those two can do against each other. It's been a long time since I've seen Wayne work. So I'm definitely looking forward to that event coming up. Today was another open mat training day. It was fun. I felt like pro wrestling a little bit because I had this small partner who's probably high school or I don't know, and like he's like a spider monkey. Felt like I was stuck in a triangle, and I was like to get myself out. I was doing a headstand. It was fun. I wish like I had that recorded. I'm like this huge dude, trying to escape on his head, and thankfully I didn't fall towards him because that would have ended badly. But yeah, today was fun, and just looking forward to events coming up. And Ty, did you get a chance to watch anything this week? WWE, AEW.
You know what has been popping up in my feed is and it's been really doggone it, tag team focus. You guys are going to kill me here. They're one of the most famous tag teams ever, the Hawk and Animal. It's been very focused on that. Yeah. And what was her name before that?
Road Warriors.
There we go. But, you know, especially showing that stuff. And so I've been catching odds and ends pieces of little – matches that's been showing up in my feed. So I've been seeing that. And there's been – man, I watched – dude, I saw the coolest thing – you know, every now and again, I'll throw it into our pro wrestling interviews chat, something from Cultaholic Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a really cool deal about the various people that they could document that Slet had slammed Andre the Giant. And they had a bunch before Hogan.
Sure.
And it was just... So it was really cool seeing some of that stuff. But, man, seeing old school Road Warriors stuff. And it's been just showing up in my feed the last couple weeks. And they're just odds and ends, old matches. A lot of Dusty Rhodes, too. Ton of Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, we love Dusty Rhodes, I'll tell you that.
And it's so for me it was kind of nostalgia taking me back, but that's so really not a ton current other than some of the stuff you've been feeding me, because there's you know, we've touched on it and danced around the tabletop a little bit. I think we're just seeing the very beginning of anything we're going to see on the Vince McMahon stories as he goes through the retirement stuff. Just my thoughts there on that one. I mean, we can jump into some of that little stuff. Like I got about halfway through the last interview you sent me.
Before I get into current stuff, I actually met Animal twice at like fan conventions, meet and greets, and some pretty cool pics of him. And then you were mentioning slamming Andre. I know Harley Race was one of them, and then I talked to Catch Wrestling coach / professor Jake Shannon. He actually interviewed some of the best catch wrestlers like Carl Gotch. So he said that Carl Gotch was proud that you slammed Andre, and I wasn't even aware of that when, because I was trying to figure out what's like Carl Gotch's like one of his best matches, and put him in the spot, and he was saying that Gotch was glad that he slammed Andre. That's cool. I didn't even know that. And then I mean, I wanted to touch on that. You were talking about classic stuff.
Bunch of names. You were right, spot on. Harley Race was definitely one of them. I believe they referenced Carl Gotch one. There was, one of the Blackjack. was in there on the list. The
well, I can believe it. And I'm sure even Hogan made it multiple times probably before the WrestleMania 3 slam, too.
Yeah, yep, they referenced he had one or two before that. The there were some other folks. Of course, we know Road Warrior got in after that. The big, tall guy from Japan, he and Andre had a long history.
Was it must have been Baba, either Baba or Inoki, but probably Baba, because he was the giant of Japan over there.
I think it was Inoki, but that's just me. It was, I got all fat fingered doing this stuff and closed it out before I could send it. But that was just, it was just cool seeing some of the old names.
And sometimes, you'll see a video, I think Colt Hogg actually did a really good video on All Japan's history. That was pretty good. Because one of the reasons why I like Japanese wrestling history is it's less covered. American wrestling it's been covered to death. That's why I try to look for European or Japanese, because it's just something different. And then, but I think Colt Hollick did a really good video on Old Japan. And then sometimes you'll just find these random essays where they talk about a random house show from 2005 that nobody showed up at, and you'd be like, wow, I didn't know about this. Even though it's been reported, it's not one of those things where it's like Montreal Screwjob where it's been covered to death. But
Exactly. That was one of the things they talked about. They broke down the schedule. Cultaholic does a for the listeners, it comes across my Facebook feed. They can be all over their place with their stuff that they find, and they usually do a good job of making sure that they have all their reference points included. Not like a bibliography reference point, but they're, if they're like, hey, we at least found a photo in an old wrestling magazine from such and such time as a document for the Andre the Giant slams, things like that. They'll sit there and, they'll be able to name the show and all that. So it's pretty cool. I think that'd be fun for the listeners.
Let's see. Oh, I know we're talking about Vince, but I wanted to give a shout out to former guest of the show, Urban Legend,
yes,
for making his appearance on SmackDown. He was tag teaming with Brandon Scott, another Virginia talent. I'd like to get him in Bill Brown on the show at some point, but I watched Brandon work in Virginia and Maryland, and I think he worked a lot in Maryland Championship Wrestling too, as well as VCW, and I saw Irwin work VCW a couple times, I believe, and he still works there, so in Norfolk, so really cool seeing those two get some TV time. I was kind of surprised how much they didn't get a formal introduction, because they're kind of this local talent that face some of the TV guys, but it's kind of funny, Pat Magathy was he's kind of burying him on TV, on commentary, but it was just cool hearing their names. I think he was gone by Trevor Urban instead of Urban Legend, he does in the locals. But, it was just pretty neat seeing somebody who actually, I went to high school with Trevor Urban. So see him finally, I've seen him work AEW Dark, which is stage in WWE, but in the States, but it's cool to see him finally, make it there and then have a TV match. And it's so ironic, because when I interviewed Urban on the show, Hit Row had been released, this hip-hop group, themed group. And it's so funny, when Irwin gets his tag team match, he's facing Hit Row on TV. Because that was one of the questions I asked him was, what do you thought about Hit Row, given how Irwin was saying that he, like, works music. So it's pretty funny how that worked out.
It was one of those weird ironies in life.
Right, and it was it wasn't the complete group, given that Swerve, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Strickland is with AEW, and I think Swerve is the better wrestler from that group. Obviously, I think most people would say that, but he got signed by, you know, AEW before Triple H could, you know, get his position. And I guess that kind of plays into the Vince news, is that Triple H has been bringing back some NXT talents that have been released. There was, you know, massive release of some WWE a while back, and I think it's really neat that he's bringing these former NXT talents on the main roster, Raw and SmackDown, and Hit Row on SmackDown, and then Karrion Kross, who I thought had a lot of potential and still does. I think it's a very good decision for him to sign there. I think he was offered to work AEW, but I think he wanted Scarlett to get some work too as his valet manager, given that, you know, their personal relationship. But I think they're on the right path. I've been very jaded, and I think in short amount of time it's getting better. And like, I didn't see all of SmackDown, but I saw some of it, just enough to see, you know, some of the local talent that I knew. But I just saw a video package for the IC title match with that they're hyping up, Gunther versus Nakamura. I still got to watch that match because I'm sure it was good. Gunther is very old school, and I think he could be a top or upper card wrestler for sure, given that he's been an IC champion recently, and Nakamura, I think, could have been world champion too at some point. Hopefully with Triple H in charge, he'll get more title matches at least. I think Nakamura should be a bigger star than he is right now. And he did get some success in the main roster in NXT, but I think there's a better chance of Nakamura now being elevated. And then Gunther, I think it's hard for Gunther to have a bad match. Just if you watch any of his NXT UK, like, his run on NXT UK alone was legendary. The matches he had there, so if they can not botch him up, I think he'll be a great asset for them. And obviously they put the title on him, so just that video package alone, if you get the chance to see it, if I find it, I'll send it to you. It's like they talk about the history of the IC title and the importance of it, and it's like very refreshing to see that, given how it's like never defended a pay-per-view. And like,
man, that was as big a title as any of them back in the day. I mean, if you couldn't get the heavyweight title, and Lord knows nobody was going to get it from Hogan for the longest, there was so much action around the IC title.
Oh, for sure. And now they have two secondary titles with the U.S. title, but the it was the same that, like, it felt like IC title was just never focused on in recent years. And I think just doing those video packages like that just really reminded you, like, how important it can be. So I think they're doing a lot of steps right. I think Hit Row, they're not like huge stars right now, but I think they have potential to be a good tag team. I think Street Profits was the only thing close to what they're doing, and I think it seems like they're going to split up Street Profits at some point. I don't think they should rush into it. They're slowly building it, but I think it's good to have more tag teams in their division, and Hit Row could be one of those frequent tag teams they can plug in. Because how many times we have to see Usos versus New Day, Usos versus Street Profits over and over and over. Like, they needed new tag teams, so it just makes sense. And then, yeah, there's a lot going on. I think Karrion Kross feuding with Drew McIntyre is a really good idea. Also, I think what they'll do is, I think Reigns will probably lose the belt. They'll probably lose one to Drew and then lose one to Karrion Kross, but we'll see in what order they do it. I think Drew is facing Roman Reigns at Clash of the Castle. Yeah, that's like the next pay-per-view, and it's going to be in the UK. That's going to be interesting, given that they don't do a lot of live UK shows. I don't think they've done one since, like, early 90s. So that's interesting. Yeah, that's the big stuff right now besides the Vince McMahon drama.
Man, you put me on a tangent. I'm going to drop this tangent in here real quick. How the IC's not getting the love it could, and how they're minimizing, like, the tag team stuff. They used to make each level belt such a big focus, and it was a big deal. And now part of me is wondering, is it because of the way the schedules are working now? I mean, they've got, where people will or won't work, things like that. I mean, Brock Lesnar had a pretty reasonable schedule going on, what he had to do or not have to do, if you will. So they're, you know, I wonder if that's a factor in it, how much certain people don't have to do. But that used to be, at every level, tag team used to be such a, it didn't get much better than that. People remember the old days. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't think tag team wrestling is a huge focus in WWE, and I think it'll get better now that there's a new regime in charge. Like, it's still the same people that were in charge earlier, but it's just, you know, a new creative head. I think there'll be more emphasis on it, but it's just their track record. You know, that's why FTR, that's why the Revival left WWE. It's because, you know, they didn't even care if they had the titles. They just wanted tag team wrestling to be more important, and that's why, you know, they left and to AEW. And I know some people are critical of them not facing, you know, not having the AEW tag team titles, or, you know, not facing Young Bucks more. But they obviously are very decorated. They're holding, like, the IWGP titles, ROH titles, AAA tag team titles, but it's, they kind of built a legacy for themselves within WWE and after. So, I mean, I think if you want tag team wrestling, AEW and ROH is a lot to watch, especially ROH, because the past pay-per-views of the Briscoe Brothers versus FTR has been, like, some of the best tag team matches this year, for sure. But I think WWE are going to – they're obviously focusing on women's tag team wrestling again, which is kind of laughable because it's just in just their recent history with Sasha Banks and Naomi walking out. But I think Triple H has kind of convinced those two to come back in, and they're obviously doing a women's tag team tournament. So I think they are trying to get back to focusing on tag team wrestling, especially with the women's division, given that they promised the tournament, and then for, like, weeks they didn't bring it, and then just recently they've – started doing it, so I think they're doing a lot of right. But
well, you know, Steve, this is Dr. John, and I wanted to make a statement. When I was growing up, tag team wrestling was what it was all about. That was the focus of the main event. We never had, at least when I was a kid, and when I went to the Charlotte Coliseum or Charlotte Park Center. Which is the Grady Cole Center now, we never had a main event that wasn't a tag team match. And I'll tell you what, those tag team matches are incredibly exciting. They really are. It was like, that was like when more action was going on. So I guess what I'm saying is these boys that run this thing need to realize that wrestling, at least in the Carolinas, was built on tag team wrestling. And it really was, and it was the most exciting stuff in the world. I mean, you'd see names like, you know, I'm gonna pull out some names that people don't remember, but the Bolos, J.C. Dice and the Infernos. It was incredible, those tag teams, and that was all that, honestly. That was all that really mattered on the card. It really was. So, I mean, you know, they need to remember that wrestling in the, at least in the Carolinas, and I think everywhere else, was built on tag team wrestling. I mean, George and Sandy Scott, I know those names, you might laugh at them. Those guys were incredible. The Flying Scott Brothers, they were jumping off the third turnbuckle all the time. And everybody needs to realize, you know, wrestling was built on tag team wrestling. So I'll just...
Oh, very much so. I think another piece of it became a tool for certain singles to develop. But, man, do they forget how many tag teams just endured as tag teams and were always relevant and were always a draw? I mean, really? The Fabulous Freebirds?
And, oh, if you want to talk about one of the greatest tag teams of all time, you're looking at Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, the Rock and Roll Express. They lined people up for actually a mile in Greenville, North Carolina, a mile to watch them. I mean, and that was the whole point. You know, you can do, I'll be honest with you, like the, you know, Abdullah the Butcher. It would take an Abdullah the Butcher, or it would take the Sheik from Detroit to bring a great card somewhere. But I'll tell you what, you know, you had, or Andre the Giant, of course. But you would have to have somebody like Abdullah or Andre the Giant to put on a card like, just even with the Scott brothers that were gigantically popular. And it's like, you know, it's just like people didn't people do know today, but they know that the Scott brothers were good, but they were the biggest thing in the world when I was a kid. And I wasn't a kid that long ago, you know, and tag team wrestling is
quit exaggerating that one.
Do what? Say that again?
You said you weren't a kid all that long ago. You're exaggerating that one.
Now be nice, Todd Saxon. But anyway, I'm just saying, you know, we had great wrestling, and wrestling was built on tag team wrestling in the Carolinas, and that's what, I don't care what you say, that's what Mid-Atlantic, that was the foundation of Mid-Atlantic wrestling and Jim Crockett Promotions, and that's like what we lived on, so, you know. And I was one of the guys that lived on it, and I was a kid, and I loved it. But it was always tag team wrestling. I don't think I ever remember a non-tag team wrestling match that was the main event. Todd, I'm going to yell at you later on. We love you, Todd.
Okay, I just, you know, it's kind of being free with the language, just saying. I'm kind of long in the tooth, too. There's look at the references I used that took me back earlier. So, yeah, just saying. Good grief. This is why, like, sometimes for us to sit here and do a round table and have the discussions, we probably each have a half a dozen things in our head in a given moment that we can sit here and talk about. And I love how we just touched on the relevance of the old Intercontinental title, the old and tag teams. The relevance of tag teams, man, that could be a big draw. And just for the record, if you hear some clicking and stuff, and if it gets too loud here from my end, I'm trying to finish my meal prep at the same time, so I'll be honest with some of that noise as you hear me cutting things. If that's making noise, guys, tell me, and I'll just put it on a pause.
I think what I was alluding to earlier, I think tag team wrestling can be important just in other organizations. Ring of Honor, like I mentioned earlier, like the last pay-per-view they did, Death Before Dishonor, they ended it with the tag team match with the FTR and the Briscoes, 2 out of 3 falls, you know. I was kind of surprised that Claudio and Jonathan Gresham opened the show, but, you know, not too surprising that the tag team match would go on last or semi-main, but they went on last, so I think tag team wrestling can be relevant.
I know you weren't saying it's not relevant. We know it's people running the promotions, brother. Fully tracking. And not all tag teams, so to speak, are equal. There's guys that are part of a tag team their whole career, and that tag team will effortlessly slip from singles to tag team matches. Ivan Koloff.
Right.
It was just fully capable of working the ring either way. That stuff is there. And
you are talking about the great Ivan Koloff. He was truly one of the masters of the ring. And I want to say this. I think it's important because I think the more good things we say about Ivan Koloff, the better. One of his competitors said, you know, when I was green, and that's a phrase in wrestling, when I was green, I was new, I was not very good, Ivan Koloff made me look great. And you talk about an incredible performer was Ivan Koloff. I mean, you know, and he's, you know, all I got to say is Uncle Ivan, and that's what Papa Stroh used to call him, and I'll call him that now, Uncle Ivan. As you're looking down on me and we're talking about you, You made wrestlers that were not very good look incredible. You understood the craft of this business. And it's like I'm talking to my cousin. My cousin is down here with me, and he doesn't understand wrestling. And it's like what we look at is the great legacy that people leave. And it's like Ivan Koloff, one of the greatest, that's three greatest of all time. And he was unbelievable. And he did, of course, the first coffin match with Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah,
and he won. And I mean, what more can you say?
Oh, yeah, and so many things. The kids got to meet him. And he was the kindest, sweetest, most gracious person on the planet. And it was and we had so much fun talking about we got to collect it because I knew just enough, of course, to be dangerous, stuff like that. And he was talking about the craziness of the old kayfabe rules. They couldn't even go out to eat dinner without doing an accent thing. And he was talking about the whole way I tried to learn the accent. The only accent I knew was from the French Canadians. And it was hilarious, you know, talking about the old story. And he just, you know, he goes, if people ever paid attention to my accent over the years, as I learned, he goes, it was unreal.
I had the chance to meet him in 2015 at a fan convention called WrestleCade. And there's so many wrestlers that I wish I could have met that there was too many people there, but there was a lot that I did meet. And Ivan was one of them, and very fortunate that I got a picture with him in that old title belt. And, yeah, that was pretty cool because, like Dr. John said, one of the first, probably the first coffin match, and also when Undertaker lost his WrestleMania streak to Brock Lesnar, the only thing comparable to that moment was Ivan Koloff beating Bruno Sammartino for the title, the world title in WWF. And, like, just shock and silence.
That's still a legendary story.
The crowd
was just flabbergasted, dumbfounded, was like, wait, did that just happen?
Yeah.
They went crazy, and I here is Ivan Koloff, and nobody knows what a transitional title is, and that's something that the great Tommy Rich got to do. But I'll tell you what, just the fact that Ivan Koloff won the belt, and he was, I'm sitting here almost crying and saying, you know, Ivan Koloff was truly one of the greatest wrestlers, one of the greatest men in our profession. And I'll turn it back over to you guys. But
John, because I don't know, Dr. John, I don't know if Steve knows the story about him joining the podcast.
I was there for one of the nights. I think it was Joe's birthday celebration.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, that was that was, man, we got to hang out with them for an evening. Really?
Oh yeah, that was great. I actually remembered getting my friend to call in because my friend doesn't call the podcast very often. But I tell him about them, and I was like, dude, Ivan's on. You got to call in. And he did. That's why I remember it fondly.
Oh, okay, shit. So we were catching each other off and on podcasts all the way back then. Steve, that's been a minute. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, because that's lovely. That's another one, because that's been a minute.
Oh, yeah. John mentioned the coffin match. I actually, that reminded me to bring up, I did see some of AEW this week. I didn't watch I don't think I watched all of it, but the opening match was a coffin match with Darby Allin versus Brody King from House of Black. So I really like this feud that they've been doing, and I like how Makab got to that point, and lots of fighting, not involving them, but still involving them. Sting showed up in the coffin at one point when Brody King's House of Black stablemates came out, and Buddy Murphy was opening the coffin up, and Sting came out, hit him with the bat. And, you know, he was kind of there to fight out the House of Black, so that way Darby Allin could fight Brody King. And, yeah, it was just lots of cool stuff going on there with Sting facing off with Malakai Black, who's one of my favorites, and Sting is a lot of people's favorites, and it was really cool getting to see Crow, Sting, and Malakai Black kind of have that another face-off like they did recently, but no contact. It was just more Sting giving Malakai the bat to see if he'd use it on Sting, and Malakai didn't use it, kind of just walked off. And then Darby was able to finish off Brody King at ringside with a chain and choke out Brody King, leading to Brody King laying into the coffin. And so, yeah, it was pretty intense match. Like, early in the match, Brody King is bleeding too, and lots of floor fighting, like Darby getting thrown around, and just seeing Sting facing off with Malakai, just the stare down was great. Two of my favorites there, so I wanted to at least mention that, because that was like the big AEW moment this week that I like the most that I've seen. I had to mention that when John and Miami were talking match.
That's very cool. The all right, the man, I gotta look at the time. Oh, good grief. We ran way the heck past station break.
Well,
yeah, I was gonna mention that earlier.
All I've got to say is thank you to Banana Jack Murphy and WLSC, AM and FM, Loris, Conway, Myrtle Beach, for having us on there, and we love you guys. And I'm on there, this is Dr. John, and I'm on there every Friday morning at 11:30 doing my paranormal stuff. So, look, thank you to Banana Jack from 7 to 10 and from 10 to noon, Banana Jack, and Marshall Biddle for Small Town Big Talk. And we really appreciate you having us on there. And back to you. Actually, back to both of you, Todd and Steve.
Yeah, apparently we've been doing this long enough. We're kind of getting pretty good at feeding off each other. I don't know what you all think.
Oh, and I was talking about local talents. One of the moments from SmackDown that I remembered that I wanted to bring up was Phil Brown was like a security guard, and it was because Ronda Rousey had just recently been suspended, I believe, for attacking officials and referees after her match with Liv Morgan. So Liv Morgan is facing Shayna Baszler, I believe, at the UK live event coming up, and for the title, Liv is defending the title, and Ronda, before the contract signing came out, happened, Ronda came out, was dumping a bunch of money on the table, you know, just trying to raise hell, and you know, she was, I think, trying to make it known that she's trying to come after the title again, and she's not done. She's like, she's paid her fine, so she's trying to become active again. It looked like she was going to attack. She did attack the female security guard, but didn't finish her off, and then started walking away. But it was really cool seeing a wrestler I'm familiar with, Virginia Phil Brown, seeing him there, just kind of like walking off Ronda Rousey to the stage area, and kind of getting to see Shayna Baszler. Yeah, it was Ronda and Shayna Baszler were having a moment. Shayna was trying to tell Ronda to follow the rules, basically, like, keep in line, and Ronda was like telling Shayna that you're a killer. So they were teasing some tension between those two, given their friends, their history together in MMA and pro wrestling. So, but yeah, just super neat seeing someone I've seen work and have talked to at the shows, just kind of escorting Ronda Rousey away from ringside. Wanted to mention that too. It was one of the cool moments I caught from the SmackDown from North Carolina this past week.
Very, very cool. Man, the so much little stuff. And what's funny is we all got so much stuff in our head, and all we did was mention that we were going to try to get the bench. We didn't even touch that, and there ain't no time left for that. That's hilarious, because that just...
Well,
that is,
just
good
very
grief.
Quickly, there was $5 million paid, I believe. So there was like $19 million in total of like NDA money, and then there's some controversy with Vince paying money to the Trump Foundation when Trump was getting booked
political
TV. Yeah, and so with it being like off the record, there's some questions about that being raised, legality of it. Regardless what you think about Trump or Vince, it's probably not the best look to donate money that isn't recorded. Company money. If it's private money...
Yeah, I'm wondering how much more we're going to see of some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's still stuff going on, stuff that gets brought up that's not initially investigated, that just, you know, that they find. So,
my thought was, I was laughing because that one about the $5 million was a while back. Dude, do the accountants spend all their time drunk? That's kind of big to miss.
I think,
Just saying.
Yeah, it's maybe Vince had control over what records they keep, because he was the head chairman for so long. So I think whatever he says went. And then, I mean, they had a board director for years, probably since they went public. But I don't know. I guess people say Choir or just wasn't on the record, so they're just finding out now.
Yeah, they're just finding out now. All right. Yeah, can you tell them, Dubious? There is that. Good grief. Look at the time, guys. You want to touch, I think, I don't want to say names, Dr. John, only because if it don't happen, then I always feel like a bit of a schmuck if, you know, you announce something going to happen. But I think we have a special guest planned for next week, just saying. Look, because there's too much real world stuff. Like, I'll give you guys an example. Velvet had every intention of being on the show, and then what, maybe within 45 minutes before the show, real life goes sideways on you. And he wasn't able to attend. So, I mean, stuff happens. So that's why I don't like necessarily doing that ahead of time. Speaking of,
well,
once again, Velvet, we got the
right.
Let us know, brother.
Number one, that is very important. Thank you. And number two, next week we have got the incredible Susan Green. She has already agreed to be on there with us.
I just touched on this, right?
I know. And so we've got Susan Green next week. She is probably, and I'm going to go ahead and go out there on a limb, and I'm going to say she's probably the greatest wrestler in history, because I'll tell you what, Ric Flair, this is great. I'm standing there, and Ric Flair and Susan Green are there. And I said, you know, Susan, we love you. And he looks at me. He says, "Listen, I'm the rookie." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm the rookie. This is the pro." And I'm standing there like giving Susan the throat hug because I love her to death. I'm sorry, guys. I love Susan Green to death. And I'm giving her the third hug. And he said, "She is the queen. She is the king. She is the queen. She is the king of the wrestlers." And that's all I've got to say. It was great. It was like the most incredible moment that I've ever had. And I'm looking at Susan like, what is Ric Flair saying? But it's great. So thank you. And we're going to have Susan Green next week. It's going to be absolutely marvelous. Todd, are you going
to
be here with
me?
For
I'll do what I can. I will do what I can, as always. See, y'all know every once in a while I get, well, life takes over for me, too.
Right, but we hope you'll be there. Steve, are you going to be there with Susan Green?
Let me see. 21st. I can't guarantee, but I might be able to get on. We'll see. I'll be in Hopewell on the 21st, but if I can make it on the phone, you know, if I have time to call in, I'll definitely do that.
I will be there with Susan Green. It's going to be the greatest thing in the world because we love her, and we are so lucky to have great. Yes.
Not to no-sell any of that, but you mentioned Kings earlier, and I had to mention, I heard William Regal, Lord Steven Regal, he said best wrestlers are that he thinks of are Eddie Guerrero and Fit Finlay, but obviously in-ring Fit Finlay out. I thought that was pretty neat. Good luck. I mean, not trying to say anything about Susan. I'm just saying, like, you hear.
Oh no,
Ric Flair,
you blamed it on Steven Regal nicely there. No worries.
It was just interesting because I love hearing Regal's perspective. You guys get the messages in the group chat, like me sending them your way. That was one thing I wanted to mention. It was like, I heard him say those two are the best, and he said that Terry Funk said that Pitt Finlay was the best. He said that Terry Funk went on record and saying Pitt Finlay was the best. I thought that was interesting. Just a thought, like, but I'll have to ask Regal about women's wrestlers because seems like women's wrestlers in the UK weren't giving a lot of focus, but if I get a chance to call in next week, I'll have to ask Susan Green if she ever worked with some European talent, or she's worked Japan, obviously, and love hearing those stories about that, but Yeah, I think Susan Green, it'd be great to hear from her again.
Well, I'll tell you what, we love Susan Green, and we're so excited to have her. So I'll tell you what, gentlemen, we will say good evening to Pro Wrestling Interviews. We'll have more great things next week, including Susan Green. So, Todd, do you have anything to add?
My usual closing. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Big hugs, group.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That is intended very well, and we really appreciate that. Steve, what have you got to say to everybody?
Just looking forward to more wrestling events in my state, and please check us out at ProWrestlingInterviews.com and find me at Stiller Steven online. Those are my plugs.
Absolutely. Well, we're so glad to have both of you, and we're glad to have everyone here tonight and next week on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Next week, Susan Green.
Take care, all.
She is without a doubt the goddess of pro wrestling. So anyway, we'll see everybody next week.
Actually, you got time to slide in, replug the plug.
Absolutely. So we're so glad to have everyone here.
What is it? WLSC?
WLSC, AM and FM, Lawrence Conway, Myrtle Beach. We're so glad to be on you. So thanks a lot. Everybody take care. Au revoir. Everybody say goodbye.